have abbreviated meetings, right? Somewhat.
Somewhat, yeah.
It's okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Right, right. Several things are continued, and all the certificate of compliance requests for T. Jefferson.
I can't find the Gloria Street thing. I didn't listen to that.
Oh, okay. That's all right. They won't be here tonight anyway.
Okay.
We still have a chance.
Okay.
Fun. Oh, you're doing okay. Okay. Yours will probably be better.
Oh, good. But we have to screw it up for Mary. Casey.
Are you? But she's here.
Did you figure it out?
I don't want to do it.
Are you going to put, you have to remember how to press.
Do you want me
you're
to
have to split it each? Between each.
Yeah, I can probably stop it and start it.
I don't want you to be too distracted.
But we're all talking again. Is Dan supposed to
come? Yeah, I hadn't heard from him, so. But, you know, if you want to go ahead. Whatever.
Let's bring this meeting to order. And first thing on the agenda are the minutes from September 15th.
I have an editorial change. On page 2, Newbury Report Sewer Commission, first paragraph, middle of the paragraph, Steve Moore asked the city's ability to replace the vegetation, not replacement. Okay. That's it for me.
I just have a little minor clarification on that same paragraph at the beginning where you say Kent Nichols, and I just want to clarify that that's, he's from Weston Sampson. So Kent Nichols of Weston Sampson. That he had to be here, I'm not quite sure, but I think we could go ahead and look at it. It's pretty minor. Let's see.
He did intoxication.
He did what?
He did intoxication.
Oh, he did?
Yeah.
Oh, so you saw him?
Yeah.
Well, do you want to go to hold off and do 1 P Street?
That's fine.
Just in case he shows up.
Table left, and now we'll go to David Soros of BPP, request information. Hi, Ron. We're back again. don't seem to be able to make up her mind what we want. So I think for you, last time we had an interesting discussion about last work and about storage and ending storage, and we decided after all of that to go to sort of the unconventional approach, which was we were going to hang storage in the garage, trying to, because it's rather small and expensive to do, we decided to nix that plan and do a more conventional shed. Freestanding shed, and you see the drawings. We've got a site plan for you. We also have what the contractor was proposing for equipment. We want to use a deck block, but we use whatever you tell us to use. But this is what he was thinking for the concrete block idea. And if you have any questions, as I said, it just came down to the logistics that from the original house when it was all buttoned up. Maybe it would be easier just to build a freestanding house.
You're not doing that underneath thing at all.
We just got to get rid of that altogether. This is a little bit, not an addition. We didn't do the old, let's get that approved, now we're at something else. No, we're just deciding it wasn't as effective. So what you see is the site plan showing the house and then the shed off to the side. And you see what the dimensions. It's approximately 8 by 12. A little bit less than that because it has a slanted wall. That's about it.
So please just kind of sit on top of the seat.
Yeah. Or just actually, I'm assuming yours is just under, but as I said, it's actually kind of a question for you. What would you prefer to see? I'm assuming you want something temporary because you'd rather be able to be taken away. And so you tell me what you'd like to see and we'll put it on whatever you prefer.
As opposed to the concrete piers?
Well, in other words, this is just something that sits, you see its depth is only. Yeah, it's just essentially a stiff little concrete block. That's all it is. But rather than putting a sonotube into the ground, or and it's a little bit more stable than a concrete block, a little bit better looking.
Oh, and it sits right on the ground, or
right. Well,
underneath.
We want it to sit off the ground.
Okay.
So that it can blow underneath. So I'm assuming that to raise up off the ground, which I think you prefer.
Yeah, but then you don't have the post sitting in the
whole. Yes.
Yeah. So that's the 2 feet. The lowest power on the members.
Right.
2 feet up.
Right. So you tell me. If you like it buried, if you want it on top, it's on top. You tell me.
I don't think it matters. I mean, it's, the size is nothing different than the sun that you put in.
Right, except it won't be permanent.
Right, yeah.
So I said it's better.
And it's flat enough that you don't have to dig around or anything.
Nope. Nope, it's a pretty easy spot to do it. It's away from everything.
Okay.
Yes, but it's a level portion of the set.
Yeah, for case it was an inch different.
Right.
Is there any way that you could move this to some other place that isn't quite so close to the wetlands flat?
Not really. There's no place, there's no room on this side of the house. At this time, we have the access to the third place or the parking underneath. So you could pull it a little bit closer this way.
Yes, about back here.
That's right in the way of the. I don't think it's any farther away. There's also some trees right there that would have to come on top of to remove it, and also be right in the view of the master bedroom, looking straight out of it. So I located it so that it would be the one place that had the least amount of vegetation. And I'm sure there's the least amount of views.
What kind of vegetation is under what's going on?
Right now it's just mostly just sand. Nothing really like that. So it's from there on it's quite a bit more.
It's beach grass.
Right. Well, such as there is, yes.
Back in this area.
Right. Oh yes, okay. From here on, yes. But
yeah.
there's also little trees and things in here that we didn't want to touch.
Right. Are these existing, the Janiprook bushes?
Yeah, well, everything that's there is existing. We didn't have we didn't add anything there. All the plantings, which we've gone over with you, are on the other side, which are all in.
Okay.
just a note for perhaps in the future.
Yeah.
We've labeled things here as seagrass.
Oh, we already heard this. Okay, here.
Seagrass and
underwater. Well, this is an underwater site. I just didn't want to tell you. You didn't make a mistake. This is really important to protect the house. Thank you. Somebody was kind enough to point that out, but unfortunately, after we attempt this to. So, sorry about that.
And I just wanted to make sure with this ramp,
It's
fully open underneath.
Yes.
Okay.
Yep. And it's just going to sit
on the ground.
It's not, again, it's meant to sit as lightly as possible and be as temporary as possible.
Okay. Yeah.
So, Andy, is it the black line, is that the ramp?
That's the, that line is the ramp is here, there's a little deck. The enclosure is right here, and this is the overhang of the roof. It's a larger roof.
Okay, right.
So you know we can't draw straight lines.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
And there's not going to, you said there's not going to be any ladders?
Nope.
It's going to go there. As in under the house.
What got approved is already up.
Okay.
But we're not putting in. Remember, we had come to talk about the storage, and we had talked about shed, and Mary Gibson said we decided not to do this because it was too difficult to attach it. So we've just taken that storage off the table and gone with a more conventional approach.
And there's no issue, Mary, with the.
I don't think so. Yes, we have a good day.
Again, those were open. We saw that we have to comply with whatever you recommend.
It's pretty straightforward to me.
Okay.
Yeah, as long as, and you don't have to get a building permit because it's under 120 square feet, right? Okay.
Right. We've already been here, and he knows what, he sent us.
Okay.
We come here, but it's allowed by right for the building permit, just to, we have to hear from him.
All right.
Anything else?
I did have a question. I sort of watched as other people without permits that installed sheds. And a neighbor recently put one kind of 6 foot out on the ground, took out vegetation in order to install it and sit right on the ground right next to his house. And I'm curious how certain people can do that, and I don't think there are any repercussions, and yet we all, those of us who try to abide by the rules have to incur extra cost, time, and expense in order to abide by the rules. Are there any consequences for people who just go shed up without any split right on the ground?
Let us know.
Let us know.
It's just we can't be down there 100% of the time, obviously.
Do you ever do random inspections?
I keep my eye out when I go down there. And believe me, there have been a couple of sorry folks there recently.
Well, if you come to my house, just look across the street.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
Okay, so I'll try to get that out within a week, and there's a 10 business day wait period, and then you're good to go.
Very good.
Okay.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
Hi. So, let's see. Oh, okay, yeah, sure. Just for the record, I just wanted to note a correction for the on the form. There's the determination. The ones that were checked off were B, whether the boundaries of resource areas depicted on the plan reference below are accurately delineated. And that shouldn't be checked. It really should be C and D. So just for the record. And so anyway, you've got a shed, and you're building it 2 feet above grade, lowest horizontal number.
Yes, I stayed it all off for you. You got to inspect the areas.
Oh, okay. Okay, on this, did you do any of the applications?
For did I do that?
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Oh, let's see.
The
only thing I was going to ask was with the ramp. We would prefer no siding on that. It's kind of it looks like they're
okay. I mean, it's
it'll be just open.
Just that you know, the people are elderly, so I mean, they're pushing along the ramp, and something they have to be ramped up.
Oh yeah, ramp is fine.
You know, pick it up and put it up.
Right. Right.
No, just my only observation. Yeah, that there should be no sides
right. on that. Oh, yeah. And I know I asked the applicant that there's no beach grass.
They mow the lawn.
It's a lawn, okay.
Is the shed passed into those concrete blocks?
They could be. I really wasn't planning on it. I was going to set it on grade. You know, just to try to figure it out. I didn't really want to put on it.
I think we had another one. Or maybe this is the city one. Where we wanted to tie, you know, somehow tie to the...
I think they filled a block. They filled a block. It actually
be like
a raised platform.
Yeah. Yeah, just whether, you know, it's the times of hurricanes or storms.
Yeah.
It just doesn't blow off of the blocks.
Yeah, yeah.
Then you got to collapse
the
area.
Someone's house.
Yeah, but when the block is just higher than the 3 to 8 inch blocks,
yeah.
And you put them up a solid block, you need, if she's going to go, it's going. It's kind of hard to. Unless you pile it in, I just want to see if anybody else has been down it for 7 years doing this kind of stuff.
Yeah, I think the one for the city, and I can't quite remember why, but it was sitting on the ground because they wanted the exception, remember, because they needed to make it ADA compliant. I know, we said something about anchoring it down.
In the southern states, they do have a banning system. Uh-huh. They banned a lot of stuff down to the ground, the trailers, and so on, that kind of stuff. I mean, I don't know if people want to look into stuff like that. I mean, you know, we sit on a block, but there is a banning system that's staked into the ground, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So it wouldn't ban lift. You know,
right.
It wouldn't allow for the lift, you know. Mm-hmm. But those are not things that are in codes in certain states.
Right.
We were thinking about the roof from the corner to the corner of the house because they had to go that direction. Any other questions?
Any other questions?
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. So I'll get the permit out in about a week, within a week, and then there's the 10-day appeal period after you receive it. Yeah.
Okay.
And then you're good to go.
Accurately address that with the base elevations, etc. construction.
And we get the breakdown of the square footage of deck versus building. That's not pretty much. You want to check?
Yeah, if you read us the other public chat.
There was just one thing, Bob, that I forgot to point out to you. And I don't know how others feel, but if this is, let's see, when you're talking about the driveway, proposed additional driveway shall be constructed 6 inches of compacted gravel with 4 inches of crushed stone above. The commission's not allowing the, you know, fine stone dust or Linpak.
Right.
And it sounds like it. 6 inches of compacted gravel, or is that?
That's just gravel.
Oh, it's okay.
Soil, stone mix. Definitely not Linpak.
It's not Linpak. Okay. Okay.
So that was more of a, as, by definition, I think it's really just a mixture of dirt and rock.
Dirt and rock.
Compact, and typically we do put over a we use a geovac, a pervious material, not so we turn them as well.
Oh, okay, right.
And then
some sort of fabric.
Sorry?
It's like a fabric kind of a
fabric is what they
right.
Professional drivers. It's kind of like it's a landscape version of Zybeck. It's like impervious one way, impervious the other.
Oh, okay.
So there's
okay.
A lot of movies, a lot of the water.
To infiltrate, okay.
So you're saying it's a dirt and rocks together?
Yeah. And standard gravel.
It's like a sandy dirt. It's not like one.
Oh, I know. It's very minor, and I don't think it'll be a problem. But can you make the density of that beach grass just a little more dense? The, like 12 to 18 apart, that's where I read it in a, you know, planting guidelines, as opposed to the 18 to 24.
Yeah. Do you have something that like could gap just for, as a dialogue with the landscaper?
Sure.
Yeah, but we have these in the Phoenix as well.
Okay.
What kind of guideline you guys have?
I think it's from UMass Amherst.
Okay.
12 to 18.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, the
second.
All right.
Second.
Bob, you haven't been here for a while, but we now do the orders after we've done all the other hearings. So you're welcome to stick around or...
Come back tomorrow. What are you signing?
No, no, you don't have to sign a thing. They do.
Yeah.
So in other words, I'll just issue the order conditions and get them to you, and this is the usual. So, I mean, in, as far as the discussion of the conditions, we'll do that later in the meeting. So.
I think there were no comments after that.
That's true. Hear this one, they had no comments.
Okay, should I wait in case you guys have any questions or is it?
Well, we're not allowed to. We're going to close the hearing. So, yeah.
Thank you all very much.
Okay, next, the report to our commission.
Yeah, I sent one to everyone today, and I put it in your handout tonight. It was just what occurs in each of the phases. And there were a couple other things I sent via email. I believe it was the Cornell numbers, and let's see what else. Update to the stormwater report. Reflecting the, let's see. Yeah, attachment B, stormwater report that I emailed out. And the stormwater report. Do you recognize these? Anyone? Yeah, okay. I think we've received everything. I did want to, before we close it, is to verify what I've got for my plan set, because I've got like C1 and it jumps. So just to make sure that I've got the latest of everything. Do you all have any questions? I have one about the erosion control. Question is, I was just wondering why that didn't have any either sulfur stock or...
At the back of the biofilter, what happens is where we tail this off, there's actually no disturbance back in there on the back of the biofilter at this time. But we got that, so we actually left that. We omitted that piece of filter. I mean, we could put it there, but they basically tied to the fence. And the wood chips, the wood chips basically filter.
So this is blocked anyway.
Yeah. This system actually, the way the biofilter works, I don't know if you remember, some of the folks in Atlanta has done. The, with, I guess, Austin, but yeah.
The viability or the viability of the aeration tanks is actually, the way this is built is actually an underground system. It saves the moisture that comes back out of that system because it tends to have some pollutants, and it actually drains everything back. So any runoff that makes its way into that biofilter doesn't actually come off the back, it actually goes down into the underground system. Traditionally, things come away from that. That's why we terminated that, the erosion control on either side.
Okay.
So we wouldn't have any runoff through the back of it. So traditionally, we don't get any more runoff off it because it's an open pile of wood chips, but it's got an underground system.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That water's treated too.
Yes, that goes back to the treatment plant headwaters.
What's the headwaters and the treatment plant? Yep.
Okay.
Again, not to intend to increase our flow, but it potentially there's some biological activity in there, so whatever we get in that biofilter, we're going to track and get back to the treatment plant.
Is there any need to protect the biofilter then?
Sometimes you cover them to protect them from rain, but in all honesty, you have to keep them moist anyways, so. We actually have a wetting system in it.
But I mean from sedimentation during construction.
No, actually it's a raised, I don't know if you've seen it, but it's a raised bed.
Yeah.
It's about 2 to 3 feet high. So, and it's,
okay.
It's got right now, it's somewhere along its life where it's nearing the bottom of the media, and basically all it is we strip off the wood chips that are there that are degraded, and we put in the deposit wood chips and layers, put the watering system back on top of it, and put it back on.
Okay.
But when we do that, the sub-drainage system stays in place. Sometimes we'll replace the filter travel with the water bath, mm-hmm. just to kind of keep it in place. But any runoff that occurs on the body of the filter still goes through the drain system.
Okay.
You may have answered this, but I have a question. When you did any soil testing, did you test the toxic?
We generally screen whenever we do soil borne, we screen them for elements that we might find out there. One of the things I think I mentioned at the last meeting was the site is a lot of urban fill on the site in various places, so it has different types of things. One thing we found a lot of is pieces of old timber, some of it burned, some of it, potential that it would have some special waste material in it. In general, when we did, we keep an eye out for that anyways, and our experience is pretty good with finding that. This site obviously is a little different story because we know have known petroleum contamination on the site and we've got a remediation plan in place for that. But the main site really, when you get out of the river, we don't see as much of that.
Right.
So anything we'd be looking at, we were originally going to do some structures. We originally proposed a structure out behind the pump station, which would have been one of the closest things to the water body. It was going to have to be excavated and have some dewatering to go with it. We pulled back on that from a cost saving and functional standpoint because it's going to be hard to build. And because of that, we do have some soil retention ability to look at the problem. Anywhere when we get back in there, the building, you get so far in there, you start to see a little more of that fill.
Right.
So out here, it's a lot.
And is there any part of this where you're going to be bringing up an impervious surface and leaving it pervious to your whole time?
Temporarily, it will mostly occur over on this site. There's actually some paved area here that will come back out eventually. But since we don't know what the ultimate disposition of the 115 Water Street balance of the parcel will be, at the system will be determined by the city eventually.
Right, yeah.
Probably will have to count a little bit of the pervious area that we added, actually, just a small amount of paved pervious area that we added plus the buildings. We actually may lose a little bit of the pavement, and you can actually see that on the site plans. But in general, on this site, we're not really reducing the pervious area.
Oh, okay, yeah, because sometimes, when we say anything like that, but it does measure, you just leave it impervious.
One of our problems is, generally, we have only a limited amount of space on the site already that's not taken up by tankier buildings. Tankier buildings can't get small,
no.
We're going to be a little bit bigger. The paved areas get pushed out when that happens. We generally try not to shrink the paved areas because we also have to get vehicles around for operational purposes. The opportunities in a facility like this to actually reduce pervious areas, impervious areas, is very limited. You just don't have that.
Yeah, it's probably
too good. We did talk about long term, the couple of options that would potentially take this building up, maybe restore some green space over here, but that's really a decision made by the city. Probably a couple of days down the road.
before we actually really know what will happen on the rest of the
site. And that's sort of the current remediation plan is in effect anywhere.
A lot of the soil in this kind of in this middle area is where the soil has come up.
Yeah. The project packaging here, the first thing is we've been doing operations control and that includes all of the
Bio retention base
doesn't
really the related site work, the cistern, the plantings, the bio retention areas, those are all the obviously, staging wise, you got to get the building built first because you get some excavation support work around it, and then the bio retention building alongside those.
I take it, and I'm not even up to date on this in terms of the acquisition of that property.
The city council voted a week ago last night to acquire the parcel. So we now have, if you're asking, we didn't actually get that title for the parcel. Mm-hmm. We now have the right to own the parcel, which isn't challengeable. The city has the right to have the parcel. We are probably recording either tomorrow. So we actually will be, the city will be on the record as of tomorrow.
All right, so there's no...
It's not
we don't have to worry about a contingency.
Yeah, you don't think it's not a challenge. What they can challenge is the compensation that you get, but the eminent domain process is not a process where you can say, hey, I'm wrong, I need my land back.
Mm-hmm.
The land is the
okay.
You described it as a friendly taking last time, you said, what was in the paper? It's not
a moment. We sit in the middle of that, yes. Don't read everything into everything that we
hear.
This is a big ongoing discussion of the problem. Nobody wants to make any enemies. And obviously, we're trying to make everybody as comfortable with the process as possible. But the way the taking happens, if we don't have a negotiated price yet, this becomes, by definition, an unfriendly take or a hostile take. It doesn't really necessarily mean what the word hostile are. Let that play out. There's still some other issue with that.
It's not our jurisdiction.
The main issue is the city on control.
One element in one of the newspaper stories was a mention of the yacht club easement, and it's described as a permanent non-exclusive easement. Is that correct? Or
Peter might know a little bit more about this. The way the city council is handling the yacht club's easement right now is they've actually been delegated the authority to move the easement when it's convenient and when an appropriate location can reach an agreement with the yacht club. At this point in time, the easement actually runs in, stays tight to the property line, and runs up. Before we build, obviously, we're proposing to relocate that easement up appropriately in the middle of that action.
Right.
As far as the exclusivity of it, that's still kind of a TBD issue. Technically,
it goes back to 1907.
It's the exclusivity that concerns me in public access. That's what I wanted to try to understand a little bit better, if possible.
Right. Non-exclusive mostly means that they don't have sole rights to it, which is our proposal.
Who has the remaining rights to it? The city? Or
yes, when we relocate it, it will be the city.
Mm-hmm.
We're working with the planning department, and I've had a meeting with Joy Dine last Friday, and where you see the sidewalk that's shown on the plan. We're in the process, and this came up with the sewer commission last night, we're in the process to see what long-term benefits that this project can bring to not just the neighbors, but and increasing public access for the walking trail residents. The reason why we can't give you any exact thing to see it tonight is if someone could tell us what's going to happen on the remaining parcel on 15 Water Street, what the city is going to do. We could okay, here's exactly where the sidewalk's going to be, here's exactly how wide it's going to be. So our discussions have included with Joy, maybe we could put a certain amount of funding in an account that could be used as the city determines what's the best interest for that site. The other thing we can talk about is, as opposed to us just making the bold assumption that here's exactly where this path should be to the trail in the back here, and this is exactly how wide it would be. There needs to be more public dialogue on that than us just making a decision and saying, plot is, what it's going to be, here's what it's going to look like. But I assure you, the sewer commission is committed, which has come up last night, is committed to this project resulting in increased public access.
Well, I know there's yachts, there's boat storage going on back there along the so-called boardwalk area. I'm just not sure how it all relates to permanent public access.
Yeah, right now the city owns that trail, the Gilbert Line, I think it was.
Or does National Grid own it?
The city owns. And the yacht club leases portion of that.
So that's where the boat storage is going on?
You can see the fence line there, and actually they just still boats right in the area again. So this is a little off topic, but the fire line through that walkway down by the seawall, does the city own all the way to that?
I don't know the exact...
Public access would be improved there, because it looks like somebody's yard.
I couldn't tell you the limits of... where the starting points and then points are. We can find that out.
Our discussion with Julia, that's an ongoing process. I've been going for 9-some years or something, probably going for quite a bit more years. It's really a long process to try to improve it. Our issue is if we can improve public access across this one parcel. Heretofore, really, there's been de facto public access because people walked in, but there's been no legal public access that way. So our hope is to improve that with this project.
Now, I know you have to go before the planning board, so we might as well wait. One thing I am going to recommend to the commission is that I know you'll have to go through a stormwater standards review with them, so we'll, of course, want to see those results, and if there are any changes, you have to come back and just let us know what they are. So,
so would we rather do a continuance?
Because I don't know how long it'll take for the planning board. We'll do something similar to what we did with Graff Road, I think. Yeah. That we will say that we want to independent review of the calculations. They do them anyway, on the planning board. So
I think they use Perkins and Serge.
That's right.
And they know these things. They can go through real quick.
Yes.
They get the information. Right. But the only thing I would ask them, respect to the request of the commission, is we are trying to get some guidance out to our contractors.
Uh-huh.
So one of the main things we're concerned with is special conditions you may place in the order conditions. So we can make sure that that gets out and becomes binding on our contractors as well.
Uh-huh.
I don't need it, you know, today, but if I could get that in a few days, even in draft form, it would help us a lot because we could at least start to get those in. And if there's anything that you add between now and then, it would also be time to get those reflected on drawings as well. So to the degree that we might need to make some changes, the earlier I get that, like I said, even if it's not signed draft.
Yeah, well, we'll finalize my draft tonight with whatever they've asked for, which should be next on the agenda, if I'm not, yeah. So, and then I can have them fairly quickly. So, I can send you electronic copies. I'm not finalized, but, yeah.
I would ask the public, but there is no public.
Move to close the hearing.
Second. All in favor?
Aye. Good idea. We might, well, while they're here, and why don't we go ahead and do 57, since nobody else is here for Northern Boulevard. And you should have a draft. Everybody should have a draft. Mm-hmm. It was a handout, Doug.
Right?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, on the table.
You don't have them?
Sorry.
I think the general conditions are you're pretty familiar with. Order that I'm proposing, the condition I'm proposing, under it's under pre-construction on page 3, peer review of the stormwater management report including all calculations, shall be before the final report submitted to the commission and its administrator for approval before any work may begin. This shall be accomplished either during the site plan review by the Newburyport Planning Board or shall be performed separately at the expense of the applicant. The peer review must ensure that the plan adheres to all stormwater requirements set forth in Wetlands Protection Act regulations 310 CMR 10 in addition to any requirements set forth by the Planning Board. And then 35 just deals with if there are any changes, then it needs to be approved by the commission. Erosion controls installed per plan of record, that's pretty standard, including all catch basin protections. Notification of pre-construction for a pre-construction meeting. Probably, you know, after the erosion controls are installed, so I can inspect those. The other one about the supplying owner and contact names is pretty standard. I'm referring back under special conditions. All best management practices specified in Attachment C, which is the stormwater report, construction period, pollution prevention, erosion, and sedimentation control plan, shall be implemented throughout the project. Because that was a fairly comprehensive document. So, and I might refer back to some of the other stormwater report just to make those officially conditions.
I'm wondering if we want, you know, since the public access is not clearly known right now, that when it is clearly known that they provide us that addendum to the plans.
Okay.
You know, so there's only one for the certificate of compliance. You know, we don't say, well, my colleague said it's going to be here, but now it's over here. Okay. It's not a big issue, but it is.
So show on plans.
Yes,
for
this. It's
yeah. Okay. The only thing I can think of for perpetual conditions is the operations and maintenance. Maintenance of the bioretention.
Having the condition provide some weight behind that cover.
Okay. Special. I know there was some discussion in the what was provided in the notice of intent about spill kits. Mary, you might be able to.
I was just looking at project periods, and you say trucks or other equipment shall not be washed out of resource areas. I think fueling should be included in that. And I was also wondering about whether or not we should specify when materials are removed that have contamination, contaminated soil, that they be placed in lined dumpsters and covered. Which is usually something the mass contingency plan, you know, that's standard behavior on a
if something went down.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So they should be contaminated soils placed in lined containers?
In lined containers and covered.
And covered.
When not being filled.
Okay.
Or during rain events.
Yeah. Now, does this notice and order include that they need work that you don't need to lock the fire that they're going to need to do the remediation?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's where the new building will be.
Right.
Yeah. It's going to be done in two phases, but it covers the whole project. So,
the fueling and that.
And so the fueling should take place away, far away as possible? Is that what you're saying, Mary?
Yeah, I mean, should we specify distance? from the resource area, the river, you know.
Yeah, do they typically fuel on site?
No, in wetlands, you get out of the buffer zone even if you can, you know. Right, in Mass and New Hampshire and other states, they don't have buffer zones, so it says resource area usually.
But okay, so at least 100 feet from river.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So like proper disposal of any trash debris?
Demolition debris?
Oh boy.
Just being in contact with all that sewer, okay. Or PCBs in the caulking. Oh, they're getting on that one right now.
Really?
EPA, yeah, they're getting crazy.
Nancy, stop. Okay, so proper disposal of demolition debris and removal off site. Okay.
Spill kits to have them available.
Yeah, it's in that what is this document? The stormwater report has several appendices and it covers it in there.
Okay.
Maybe I should pull it just so you can see it.
Chapter C. Construction, probably construction period, pollution prevention and erosion, sedimentation control.
See, here we go. Stainless soils. Spill prevention and control. Let me take a look.
Thanks. Materials and equipment necessary for spill cleanup will be kept either in the work area or in an otherwise accessible on-site location.
Mary, this permitted activities XXX? That's just to remind me to go back and describe the project.
Okay.
Yeah.
So the perpetual conditions we came up with were the O&M, stormwater O&M?
Right.
Plan.
And maintenance of the bioretention areas.
Motion issued on the revisions.
Second. All in favor?
Aye. Okay, I'll give this to you ASAP. Who should get the original? The signed version. Peter. Okay. And so, Peter, do you want to pick them up? You want me to call you? Okay. Okay. Let me make sure I have your number so you can you want to just... Oh, great. Thank you. Oh, instead of sending copies to you? Oh, sure. Okay. I can do that. Okay. I can do that. Okay. So I'll try to have this very soon. If at all possible. Okay.
Thank you very much. Welcome, Jim.
Thank you.
We look forward to no overtime. All done. Hopefully, we'll be much more.
Does anybody want to take a break before we work on the rest of
it? No, but it's awfully nice of you to ask.
Okay. Next item, New York Naval, 246 on the board. Standard and special provisions just announced.
Uh-huh.
The first paragraph is about 02 Street and 1 Street. That is said, you know.
Where is that on? You can tell who I copied it from.
Yeah.
Oh, huh. Thank you.
Was highlighted, you know. Yeah, it was going to get 3 Street on the agenda.
Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, boy. Disturbed, and then there was 300 square feet of
yeah.
of the mitigation area. I can make that a little more clear to the mitigation area. I'll change that. I put that in there. Just so that's
so
sort
you
of
can just take out compact the wood, compacted gravel.
Okay.
Mary, did you say you're going to change 46 to have the 12-18 inches of right
there? Yeah, I'll put it in as a separate.
Okay.
You have a minimum of 3 feet in number 53. You need the lowest horizontal member of the house and deck shall remain open. Shouldn't that be two?
Actually, what we've been doing, because they're going to be way, way up.
Oh, okay.
And we've been saying, per our new guidelines, that we're leaving 3 feet open.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So.
Okay.
Feet above grade.
Yeah.
Grade, okay.
Beneath the
lowest. So I would leave it at a minimum 3 feet above grade. Beneath the lowest horizontal member of the house and deck shall remain open. And not be enclosed. Does that sound?
System making sure that you get something back and recorded. I can recall early on during my tenure there were some previous ones I think that weren't before you came here that hadn't been recorded.
Yeah, probably a lot of them. There's no real tickler system. The way you do it is you run reports, but so you can enter that information, you know, the date it was recorded, and so you can do reports asking for those that haven't been recorded. And so I could do that every so often and send out letters. Or
because, you know, without recording them, you know, the system just breaks down.
Right.
Yeah, well, sometimes we put in a condition that no one can go with.
Well, that's one of the standards.
Conditions is that they record it, but if they don't, we don't pick up on it.
Yeah, I always, in my cover letter, and I think maybe it's helping, but I say you must record this if it's a registry before starting any work. So I've had pretty good luck.
I think on the big projects, it's not probably such a problem, but on the littler projects, the certificate of compliance thing is meaningless if the order was never recorded in the first place.
True. true. So, yeah, that's something that needs to be done. Also, with running some of their new reports, we're finding a lot of people who never got certificates of compliance
right.
from way back. I showed you over pages and pages. So, I'm going to have to figure out a... Right. Not
well.
If they didn't record the, if they never recorded the order of conditions, then.
Well, I mean, they do though. Right? The properties change hands anyway. I mean, Hooks Johnson's a good example of that. I mean, there was no certificate when he bought the place, and he bought it anyway. So I mean.
Right. Yeah. Some people, you know, did it, and others didn't. What I've been doing, which I'm not sure if I really can, but I've been doing it, is when someone comes in and I look up their property and look back through the files and there's no certificate of compliance, I say, well, you better take care of this first. So.
But I mean, it's sort of self-enforcing if we have a system that makes sure the order gets recorded in the first place, because
nine
times out of ten, these properties will change hands eventually, and some buyer will say, wait a minute,
right.
get a certificate.
Yeah, I think it's probably the most important thing, but just as for the reasons you stated, definitely.
Because otherwise, you're not having a certificate for it. Is the appeal period for our friend Mr. Russo?
Oh, yeah, I think that's long gone. I mean, I haven't heard anything. No.
He painted a railing on his back.
I saw him on 128 this morning.
You mean he hasn't been deployed yet?
Oh, yeah. Sure, deployed him.
I think he must have about 5 cars.
Okay. Yeah, we had a problem with that.
I don't know.
I expect
we're
going to
come
back last week.
Oh, no.
You missed him.
I wanted to make a suggestion. I was in the process of throwing out some old stuff the other day, some old applications and whatnot. But, and, you know, for the most part, the stuff's all recyclable, except for the sort of plastic stuff that some of the applicants put on. Could we have a policy that discourages, you know, non-recyclable materials as part of the application packages?
Yeah, in fact.
Or maybe we do.
One of my topics tonight is a reduction of paper. Yay!
Well, I mean, you know.
Actually, I pull all those out because I get a lot of them there, but I pull them apart. And I know it's a pain in the butt.
Well, that's why I ended up pulling them apart, putting paper over here, and that's fine. You know, I don't mind doing it. It's just that, why do we need... We don't need the plastic.
Yeah, I know, I agree.
I mean, we all know these engineering firms can, you know, buy this stuff at the applicant's expense and put it on, but...
Yeah,
it's
very good. And also, second, for the final plans, why don't we get a CD of all the final plans?
Well, do you want to go and do you want to talk about that, or...
You mean in lieu of the paper plans?
Well... Yeah, I mean, everybody's looking at getting like 18 pages of massive plans for the sewer project. So,
the only problem I can see with that is if you're trying to find something on the plan, you've only got a screen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You have to have one set somewhere.
But a lot of those you can zoom for, you know, especially on a CD or DVD, you can zoom right in on that stuff too.
Yeah, I mean...
Yeah, well, we might...
Do you ever bring a plan to the site if you're doing site visits? Or?
Yeah, I probably always ask for at least one paper copy, but...
But once the certificate of compliance is issued, you know, and if you had an electronic version of it, you could probably throw out much of the paper.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I don't know... I have to look at your filing area in here, but I mean, you know,
the cabinets are quite overflowing.
Do you throw things out?
I do. I mean, I tried to.
Because I've been trying to figure out what to keep and what to throw out. And I realized after only about a year of this that I really don't go back and look at these application packages again.
I've got a bunch of stuff and I said, today, the same thing. You have a copy of it. What do I need?
Exactly.
You don't. If it's closed and you're not going to look at it, there's no reason for you to.
And even when a certificate comes in, I still don't go back and look at the application package because, I mean, the certificate is supposed to speak for itself. But
those are all public documents that you just throw on the site.
Right.
Yeah, it may be a good thing to just, for final, you know, especially for big projects. They've done all the stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And you can get PDFs or whatever of the entire thing. That's what they're printing out for us, is these big PDF files. And, you know, have that.
Well, I want to step back because it's one of my topics for tonight. I don't know if you want to do the other things first, which is finalizing those Plum Island guidelines. Do you want to do a final? You're okay with it?
Yeah.
Okay. I just want to make sure you're
alive. We just approved the Plum Island guidelines.
Okay. Got that out of the way. So I've been thinking of paper reduction, and I know other towns are starting to do it. But how do you all feel about receiving electronic copies? Maybe not of everything, but what things would you not mind getting electronic copy versus a paper?
I like the paper copies because I'm not good at reading things on the screen and scrolling through it and see, that doesn't make sense. I'm going back 15 pages and put it up in the first place. I just like paper.
Yeah. And the other thing you can do.
Make notes and stuff on it.
The other thing you could easily do, Joe could probably do it anyway, but the rest of us, you can have a plan open over here, and you can be looking at the narrative over here, and you can kind of be looking back and forth. I mean, I guess you can do that on the screen, but...
Yeah, no, I understand. You just have more than one screen.
We can require double-sided printing all the time.
Well, that would...
That's a good idea.
Yeah.
I know.
So I do at least two per page.
I draw the line in the back.
My eyes are better because I look like this in the bottom of my glass.
I do have, as far as the double sided, one of my clients is Mass Audubon, and they're always doing the double sided stuff to save trees.
Right.
Which is nice, except they frequently forget to copy one every other page, and you get these all the odd numbers. It happens about one in every 10 things too.
Oh yeah.
So I mean, that's a risk, but we can always say, wait a minute, we only have the odd numbers.
Oh yeah. I mean, obviously, when I review the application.
The wastewater project, for example. I mean, I just brought part of it tonight. But, it's already
enormous.
This is ridiculous that this homemade brand foods is single-sided.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's go with the double-sided. I'm the double-sided to grab.
Personally, I think double-sided.
How about for plans? Now, I know initially you typically get the big plans. Sometimes when they come in and they say that they have revisions, I'll say, well, you just give me a couple of copies of replacement pages with big size, and then for you guys, just do the smaller, like 11 by 17.
That's fine.
Yeah. No problems with that. So 11 by 17, how would you feel about that for initial plans?
It depends on the plan. I mean, for example,
The shed project today,
but I mean the wastewater project, that's a very dense site plan.
I wouldn't want to see that on 11 by 17. I don't think there's so much stuff on there. So I don't know.
Is there any way of differentiating between a simple,
easy to read plan and a very dense plan with 10 times as much information on it?
Well, where did we have the 11 by 17, but it had the large plans on the on our website?
Or on the CCU site?
Yeah.
Well, maybe you could make
a
single family home, like P Street out there on Plum Island. That could be 11 by 17. That could be something like this for that.
Maybe what we could do is we could have the 11 by 17 would be the default, and then we'd say, but the commission reserves the right to require a bigger scale plan if it feels that we need it.
Is that Mary's call? Because
probably.
Okay. Well, it would be the applicant too. Like the applicant for Homemade Brand Foods would probably say, well, no one will be able to read that, you know.
Yeah.
Or they would come to the conclusion on their own.
Yeah.
You know? It might. Maybe I can just sort of look at the scale on some of these and kind of tell. Because you know, if the scale would have to be reduced so much that you couldn't read it.
The other thing is, you know, we don't want to make it difficult in terms of electronic requirements, because a lot of people do come in and do their own sketches and simple things.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I would.
That's not an issue.
It's a big filing, and
you don't want the shed people too much.
Right.
No. No.
With that thing, maybe you require a big project, so they deliver for each change of plan, you deliver a CD with them. The stuff on there. If someone would rather look at the electronic version, we have a copy of it. And people can make a copy, or they'll have the regular paper ones anyways.
What do you mean? So say there was a revision, and so they bring me 10 copies, or 7 or 8, for you guys.
If they're sending a PDF on one of these things, I mean, what is the default on that?
Well, those I've been forwarding to you. And they're usually, 8.5 by 11.
Or maybe 11 by 17, right? But usually not bigger.
Well, you can print out.
You can scale. Yeah.
Well, yeah, you can, but I can't. I mean,
I don't have big access.
I don't have any large format.
Yeah, no, I don't either. I'm more looking at it, you know, to be able to review it at home, and yeah. I don't want to zoom in on an area, because the thing is, a lot of the PDFs are not, they're not picture files to get grained and zoom in on. They're actual lines and text in the file, so you can zoom in as much as you want.
And still get its clarity.
Yeah.
What other commissions do? Do they have?
I think some of them are. It seems to me that Gloucester implemented like all electronic filing. I mean, but I don't know the details. I haven't looked into it in terms of do they require that everything is electronic or just pieces of it, or how do they do it?
I mean, I'd be willing to try it, but I mean, I don't know. But
that's what I think I would be. I like that piece of paper. Yeah, that's fine. But you have a choice. You just have to.
Yeah. I like the paper, and the only thing with that is I'd rather have the double sided printed, because I'm going to print it out anyways if you get it electronically.
Uh-huh.
I can't double side print my printer.
Oh, you
so
can, yeah.
I'm just going to print it twice each time.
Our new printers at work, you can't do single sided unless you walk a mile to the printer to set it.
You have special permission from somebody.
Oh, yeah.
A big grid.
These platinum.
Oh, yeah. My stinky little HP.
Yes,
double
sided. Copies of, you know, like the stormwater calculations.
Right. That's a good question.
Say that again, Paul.
There's, you know, some of these topics are coming with a stormwater calculation.
We don't. Who would like to see those?
Are they required?
Yeah. They're required. But
I might suggest
press
one copy of that
if
you have
to be. Mm-hmm. Does anybody else feel they need to see those?
I don't.
Well, it might be like if we could get that in a soft copy. That's fine.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Well, you know, it'd be part of the entire submission. They just put in a CD code. Just have everything on the CD, and then whoever wants, however they want it, can get that too. And then that's not an issue. We just have that soft copy of the file.
Well, we have to, I always have to tell them exactly what to provide, so we always tell them what number of copies, because we don't make them.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not going to do that. So.
Now, for the public records, there's going to be two, can you use soft copies for public records? And they used to be, we had to have two on the file in the office.
Two
copies of everything. You know, in case someone from the public came in and wanted to go look at the file.
I don't think so.
There was always a backup
list. Yeah, usually they have two copies.
We don't. Uh-oh. Absolutely not.
Get the double your files.
We would have filled rooms full. I don't think most people do. I mean, can you imagine having two copies? Because I've gone back to really ancient files and there aren't two copies of everything in them. What's that?
You had one complete electronic copy and one complete paper copy.
That could be. You know, I don't know if the state allows you to use an electronic copy as public. Because if someone doesn't have a computer at home.
Well, I'm wondering if some of these
if we should wait till we approve it, you know, and then get it. You know what I mean?
Oh, so, sure. Yeah,
you know, whatever the approved version is that the plan of record for the order of conditions. I'm not sure what we'll do with them at this point. I am going to get some training. Are you working off like MassGIS when you do it? Your base maps? Yeah. Did you ever use those? Because I know you have some delay. You have what?
I know.
But I mean that that's GIS. MassGIS is ArcView too. It's just that that's their interface. But do you base any of your maps on their layers?
All my maps.
Or on their layers. Oh, okay.
Which is why I like these delineations.
Have you added some additional layers from? Oh, you have. Okay,
yeah,
that's what I'm curious.
Back when Nate was doing when I passed right now, I took their delineations and put them into mainline layer and fairly accurate enough.
Okay.
Gives you an idea of how far off the EDP weapons layers are.
Yeah, they're notoriously wrong. They're more really just for giving you an idea. Yeah. So, okay. If you think of anything else, let me know. Then I can
get that out to the consultants. And
at home, do you guys all toss or do you pack?
I pack until my thing is full.
And then you go through a tossing thing.
Yeah. I'm a fan, so I keep.
Yeah, I've been pack ratting, so.
Yeah, I sent the picture.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't get a chance to go by, but did you see any disturbance?
There was some disturbance. I don't know what was there before.
Where the road was out and the city sort of deeps off to the left a little.
Yeah, it was on the left side.
Right.
Stuff seemed to be pushed up there.
Yeah, I really hoped it was like that.
So when we had a site visit out there, I don't know, 2 years ago.
Yeah,
I didn't know about it. And it didn't look that much different.
Right.
It was any what it looked like. The only thing I was wondering, I couldn't tell looking down the driveway, there were a bunch of trees around the pond. I couldn't tell whether
that was done legally under a vegetation management plan.
No.
You're allowed to.
Lengthy discussions with him over that. Or he had lengthy discussions with us. But it didn't happen any other day.
Well, what did you say? That you were there just visiting? Or?
I was just saying that I got a report of some activity over here and I was just checking it out.
Oh, and he didn't say.
He just said, okay, cool, go away.
Oh. So, Joe, when that picture is... So you didn't go down onto the farm property, or did you?
No.
Okay. So you're standing right there at the...
I'm standing at the entrance,
sir. Okay. Okay. Because I know that when you take that right into the farm property,
there's
wetland to the right.
Yeah.
But you didn't see anything.
I didn't see much of the land activity there.
Okay.
Because he had talked at one time of doing stuff along Ferry Road there because the water was traversing his property. It was coming from the road. I think we indicated we were not pleased with that, but it didn't seem to bother him.
It's not his road, though.
I know.
So.
Well, that didn't bother me either.
No, I think at that point he got the there wasn't just us that weren't happy with it, and there would be good reason for him to have to file if he wanted to do anything over there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I mean, he'll sort of push the envelope. But
he'll push the envelope, but I have found that he'll call for if someone's reported something. I mean, I know that there was some tree cutting, and... Yeah, they cut it right up to the 100-foot buffer to the river, which they're allowed to do. But he responded right away and met me down there and everything, so.
Speaking of violations, the fellow that was here, I mentioned the shed earlier. Are we going to follow up on that in some way?
I guess so. I have a list.
Where do you live?
On P Street. He's 3 P Street, so it must be right across the street from him.
Washington, we were out there looking at 0 P Street. The house across the street, I mean, you made it sound, but the fence...
Oh, I know. Was not quiet.
Is that the one where they were having a party?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's probably the same house. You get 2 for 1.
Yeah, but this is 3. Right, that was one at the corner, there was 0.
Right, but it was the house across the street.
Right, yeah.
He would leave the fence, and maybe the other ones would be completely shed, too.
There's a number of things. There's one over on Coffin Street. You know, it's the Hatfields and McCoys going on over there, so the neighbor called, and they have a shed they put up in the buffer, so it's a wetland, and there's a lot of those. So I just have to follow up.
I know nobody really wants to do that, but I mean, you know, we do have these people coming in here with plans to do it the right way. And, you know, he's right. I mean,
mm-hmm. Oh, he's right, but
No. When we learn of one, I think we need to follow up.
Oh yeah. Oh, I do. And
I'm not saying you don't. I just asked whether we were going to.
Oh.
Maybe we go out and have more people.
Well, there have been some serious ones. I mean, look at the Moors. And the Ferreras down the street, the way I was dealing with that was having them apply for a certificate of compliance, which they've never done. But I know they have some stuff going on that property. It shouldn't be. Do you know that who I'm talking about? Right down the street on Basin?
Oh,
Yeah. So they've never gotten a certificate of compliance.
Do we know something specific that's there that's wrong?
I suspect somebody called about that they have some sort of patio thing going on. But I had written them a letter about the certificate of compliance. So I think that's kind of the best way to go about it right now.
Yeah, because I mean, if there was, there's also that notice of violation.
Yeah, I know. But I think if they're going to do the certificate of compliance when we go in for the inspection.
Oh, right, yeah.
But if they don't do the certificate of compliance?
Well, they're going to get a violation notice. Because I told her she has to respond to me by Thursday.
Okay. Oh.
Yeah.
Oh,
so,
yeah,
I have several of these going on that you don't know about.
These complications.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I can spend all my time on violations. I can tell you easily. Mm-hmm. Easily. But we need a few good examples, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. So,
well, I thought they were going to burn me an effigy in the Morris. I mean, there were people who came in and said, "You actually made them do that, you know?" But they blame me.
Well, we didn't make them. They made that choice.
That's what everybody's heard, though.
They come in and call you me?
Oh yeah, they told Gary I was awful, and I made them pull their patio out. Da da da. This is a building inspector, because they want to apply now for a deck.
Oh.
Yeah. It's just the way it is.
It's just the way it is.
Yeah. It's just
speaking of those kinds of things, when we did the site visit can't remember the address, Johnston's
16. Uh-huh.
Deck.
Uh-huh.
I'm really kind of foggy on what was permitted and what wasn't, and do we have a record of?
Yeah, that one was complicated because it was there was a notice of intent under a different owner.
Right.
He didn't comply. He did extra things, and so so they were stuck with it.
Right. I'm just a little unclear as to procedurally where we are. There was an NOI, an order of conditions.
Right.
And what they built didn't comply.
Right.
That's what we think, right? And so here we are. And now he'd like to make it right, or that's what he says he wants to do.
Well, yeah. So he applied for the certificate of compliance.
Okay.
And then, so I went out there and I had to fish back through and see what had happened. And it looked like everything had been okayed. But the deck was questionable. So the other things, the prior commission had approved everything, even though, I mean, like there was the stonework.
But that was, did they issue a certificate for that stuff, or they just informally said that looks okay? And
yeah. Okay. Yeah. Correspondence.
Did there were things on the plan that,
Right. But so far as we can tell, what was the rest of the stuff that was built complied. Whatever the order was.
Yeah, this is the only outstanding item.
Okay.
The deck.
Yeah.
But no certificate is ever issued as to any of it.
No.
Right. Right.
And hasn't he already made some modifications to the deck?
Oh, he did. He did. But it, I mean, I think he's saying that this is how he understood it to be.
So I guess it's just a matter of what the commission will accept.
The deck, though, and not the patio. The deck.
I mean, you saw. Let's see. It's a deck.
The water.
It's no. It's on the sort of side.
The front deck is higher. It's a little confusing. The water facing deck appears to be more or less in compliance.
Mm-hmm.
You'd have to crawl under there and measure it, probably. But
what about the patio that you walk on to get up to his front door?
Well, that was part of what was allowed.
All right. So where's this deck in question? On the other side of the house?
Yeah.
It's really, if you're facing the house, you know, so that it's the back, really. But it doesn't face the water.
Okay. If you're facing the front door.
Right.
I mean, this deck, you step down from the compliant deck and get on this deck, and it's just a little bit of sand or like.
It's the kind of thing that when you file for them, if they just said this is just going to be a walkway, a wooden walkway, and Brian was like, okay. But they filed for it as a deck, and they said it's going to be at the level of the first floor. And they didn't do that.
Well, was it the deck? Most of it was lower, and so to bring it into compliance, it was agreed they would do certain parts at a certain height. Because they did something to it.
I thought the requirement was either 2 feet or at the first floor level.
Right, yeah. And I believe that was in the initial notice.
That's why I was just a little foggy on just what the actual was.
I can't remember.
I think really the best thing would be just to find the initial notice of the plans that we approved initially and see what that one says about the elevation of that piece of the deck on the south side. And if it's silent, as they say, on that issue, then I don't know if we have any recourse.
Well, I don't know. We've got a plan that was approved. And to me, it doesn't look like it complies.
Right. Yeah. They came in for the certificate before it was got bought in. And that's when we said, no, it's not right. So then they came in with a new plan. And it showed that south deck as being 2 feet above the water.
That's the plan of record.
That's what they said they were going to do.
But they didn't build it that way.
No. But
did you think it was a confusing plan?
Well,
I mean, would you have been
The numbers aren't confusing, but I don't know. It did show stairs on it, and for the deck to be 2 feet above, there would be stairs there, and there would be stairs going down the grade. So, I mean, if you ignore everything except the drawing, it's correct. I mean, it's pretty close.
It looks to me like they left the drawing as it was and just superimposed the 2 foot requirement on it in words. But, you know, and whether they ever intended to do anything to comply, I don't know.
Yeah, well, there's a note on it that says remove stair, which pointed to the bottom one. But she's saying, she took it off, he raised it up to the bottom stair.
Yeah.
So.
So he did make some adjustments, and he did take off a part of it that he was required to do in that retaining wall in the back.
Right.
There were certain things he had to do, this is the last thing that's left.
Yeah.
So.
But you know, well, I don't know if we should be discussing
this.
When he was here at the hearing, he was throwing up a lot of stuff, and it was very confusing. But when you actually see it, it's not confusing at all. It's just way out of compliance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, it's not even close.
No, I think 6 inches even.
You know, it's not even close. So, I mean, it's just hard to sort. So I haven't got there yet. Is it okay to just go out there? And
I told him that others might be coming.
Yeah.
I went out, but I didn't walk around where the compliant part is, so now I have to go back. It's sort of like you feel like you're...
invading, you're trespassing if you go back there.
Where you're coming
If you just go knock on the door, they're very nice. I did knock on the door because I was at the cul-de-sac there and I was roaming around and I didn't
know
I was home. But I still didn't go around back. But I will.
But I mean, when you go out there, if you just sort of look at the front deck and relate that to the side deck, I mean, it's pretty apparent what you're seeing.
Mm-hmm.
Another topic?
Uh-huh.
Did we ever hear anything from the new report assembly of God on what they were going to do? Or
I sent out a letter outlining what they needed to do. So they needed to get a certificate of compliance.
Okay.
Because this is one, they wanted to pave a parking lot. It was part of an order of conditions many moons ago. And they never received a certificate of compliance for the rest. So I said, no, resolve this. So, one of the representatives came in to go off and do what they needed to do to take care of that.
And what about the ordinance committee?
Yeah. Should we set a meeting date?
We should.
Yeah. I think, we have a meeting on the 6th, on the 20th. I guess it is our next one. But then we don't have one for a while because, let me look at the calendar. We can't meet on election day. So it might be a good time to do it.
We need
to meet on
election
day.
Best place upstairs.
Huh? I think it's probably more of an issue of public hearing.
No.
What did I do with my calendar?
I expect you guys to finalize those.
Next year, the Google selection day is in the next few months.
Oh, like what else?
Well, December is the primary for the Senate. You check out these elections.
I don't think we have to worry about primaries.
Yeah, I think that it does fly out.
Really?
Although sometimes if it's a federal primary.
Is there some sort of
rule
about not having a hearing, the ConCon hearing on election day?
Any public meeting, I think. So, but it might just be if you have hearings. I'm not positive. So I'll check.
So you can't sneak in some fucking stuff.
And hope the public's going to be off. Well, the public is busy voting, or take them away from their voting now.
Right. Right.
So when time is on December 8th.
Yeah.
If it's the 8th, then we're okay because we have December 1st.
What about the 27th or something like that, or the week of the 26th? Do we want to do something in October with the ordinance committee?
We could. So we have a meeting on the 20th. Ordinance committee people.
So we could do it the following week?
Of course, Dan's not here. We'll just have
to just schedule it anyway.
Dan, since he's on the committee. So we could do, how do you feel about Thursday night? The 29th.
Yeah, seems all right.
Why? Because you're already here.
Yeah.
What's for me?
Charles bring the pizza.
Can we bring a pizza? You bring a pizza. So even better.
Do you want to say 6? Is that good for you, Doug?
6 is good. Six
okay. I will at least refresh. Yeah, because I'm going to have to refresh myself, and I'll send you where we got to. So. The ordinance was mostly done. It's the regulations now. But, if you change something in the regulations, you might have to change back to the ordinance too to make them match.
I don't know what the site plan was.
Yeah, I wasn't clear. Did we do anything with filing fees? We never got that far, did we?
Well, we could kind of bog down in
vertical
zones.
Right. Yeah, we did. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was a tough slog through the buffer zone.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Can you send something basically with our fees or with the well?
Oh yeah. Yeah, we definitely.
We debated in that committee that we thought they were too high for what we were. Well, that's.
You mean the fees? What fees are too low?
Filing fees.
We don't set those, do we?
Oh, we can put in additional filing fees.
For the Wetland Protection Act, we set those fees?
No, but there's the state, and then we get part of a portion of that. But through an ordinance, we can put, charge additional money.
Oh, I understand, it's just Plum Island. Do we have a separate fee for
Plum Island?
The Plum Island ordinance? No, so we don't charge any filing fees, right?
The planning office charges like a $50 flat fee for most of the applications, and it doesn't really have anything to do with our ordinance. I'm not even sure it's legal, but they do it. They've been doing it for years.
Well, I remember when they
it's like $50. It's nothing.
Yeah, but when they were doing that ordinance, that question came up, and the lawyer's answers were that, even though the local ordinance only talks about Plum Island Lake resource areas, the rest of the ordinance applies citywide. And that's how they did the, can charge somebody anywhere in the city at $50. You kind of see the stretch to a lot of us there, but.
Who was the lawyer?
All the lawyers were in agreement on that one.
For filing?
They were in the report in DDP.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a citywide ordinance. Just a performance standard. You know,
yeah. It could have to get a barrier reach over in industrial park.
We're working on it. Well, at one time in history.
So, let me understand what the city is doing and what we're doing. There's a $50 filing fee for a permit anywhere in the city because we have a quote unquote citywide ordinance, even though we don't have any standards.
Well, I think that really is something that the planning office has been doing, because they do that for site plan review, and I mean it's even more for some of those. But so for all these different applications, they just, I think it's $100 for an ANRAD for some reason, I'm not sure why.
So if some homeowner comes in with an RDA for some sort of backyard project next to a wetland, there's a $50 filing fee for that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's no different from, Two Opportunity Way, $50. Of course, they're paying more because of the state, calculations can be bigger. We get half of that. But
just in terms of the politics of this whole thing, although we might very well want to bump up filing fees significantly if we could, is that something we want to sort of have right up front at the outset, or should that be sort of phase two of the
part of regulations? Stay with the idea of prior regulations, so it can be whatever we want, whenever we want it. Once the ordinance is passed, we do with the. Obviously, we're going to have.
Well,
I guess what I was thinking of, Joe, is trying to avoid getting people distracted when we have to go through the public process to get the ordinance approved by things like filing fees and whatnot. Which means, I guess, regulations. I mean, I know we want to have the regulations ready to implement, but.
I totally one way to do it in the ordinance level is just to say that the regulations that will be forthcoming, it gives us the right to set bracket
regulations.
Right.
And not have a dollar amount in your
Yeah, case. Something like that might be politic to do.
Right.
Oh, that's the way it is anyway.
Set forth in the regulations.
The ordinance that we're using is that's the way it is set up.
Right. Yeah, the Vermont ordinance was set that way because I think
in the citywide one.
Get around the regulations.
But here we're working on the regulations.
Well, no, the Plum Island ordinance doesn't specify any filing fees. I think
I believe it just says that you can't do them.
You can't have them. You can set them in the regulations.
What we're going to be doing is folding in the Plum Island ordinance as part of it.
Right.
Right. Yeah. So some citywide ordinance, I think that's what the vision is.
Yeah,
well,
we're expanding the jurisdiction.
Well, no, the jurisdiction, yeah, the jurisdiction, it's the form standard
okay. Yeah.
Expand, and we're going to do separate regulations for everything. But it's my understanding that it may be more a tenable way to get an ordinance passed if you have what you intend to have is regulations set for people to say.
Yeah.
And so they know what your intent is. To do that. And that's why we've been spending so much time on regulations before
we
submit the ordinance, because the ordinance isn't a big deal. You know, the ordinance is essentially done. It's the regulations that we have to get finished. Or at least have a good draft of them. So those are what are really going to get scrutiny. That would be the easiest thing to change, too. You know, and really, the city council, if they don't like what our regulations are, at any point they can rescind the ordinance.
It's not so much the city council, I guess, that I'm concerned about looking at the max stuff. It's maybe the developer community. You know, they seem to have a pretty good early warning system about ordinances.
Oh, yeah.
And,
yeah, there's group. Up here.
Yeah, they'll be watching what goes on.
Can't believe that's true, yeah.
Yeah, sure, they will be. The question is to what extent. I know they seem to work better in town hall, meetings. And those are the ones where they themselves are ready to have a town meeting to rescind the bylaw. They didn't get it done in Georgetown.
Right.
And it may be more difficult than we are over here.
No, because once the ordinance is in place, if we could get the ordinance passed, or I guess amended is what we're really talking about, right? Because we have a citywide ordinance.
Yeah.
So what we're talking about, I guess, is amending citywide ordinance.
Yeah.
I'd love to see that, or if somebody say what part of this is citywide. I mean, I know you just said fees, but I don't see anything about fees.
Oh, in the Plum Island ordinance?
There is about fines.
Yeah, I don't think there is anything about fees.
I don't see anything, in which case.
There's nothing in there that we could have said a fee.
I don't see anything. I mean, I'll pull it up and search for it.
Or maybe it fell under something that covers all city ordinances. That if there is a city ordinance for something,
then you can charge.
Yeah.
I suggest you put the ordinance in the iron saw.
Yeah. I'll look into that.
It will require a lot of pizza, right?
That's right. It almost all the meat on it.
One other question. Is anybody going to the MAC conference?
I've been meaning to sign up for it.
I guess, you know, this is about enforcement.
Isn't it in, like, next year?
No, there's a fall in it. It was. It's.
Yeah. I don't think I can do that. Yeah, last Saturday in October, maybe. Something like that. Yeah. I can send out something if anyone's interested. I doubt it's the 31st. It must be the
24th. Yeah, it must be the 24th.
Yeah.
I can't go to
the 100th.
Janelle,
do
you have
more class?
She
did. Yay, Janelle. Yeah.
The big one is in February, end of February. Yeah.
That's a good one. Well, I plan on going, so if anybody wants to crack
a you know, me, I'll be going from Beverly. If I go. And, I need to get my act together to sign up. Through Beverly? Yeah, that's more up 128. Well, I guess so. You go all through 128. Well, maybe I can park somewhere. It'll be easy for you. That'd be good. Thanks. It is. Oh, I was gonna. Does anyone want to go?
Is this a training thing?
What it is the city really has to adopt a stormwater management ordinance as part of the NIFES 2 compliance. This is the non-point discharge elimination system. This is federal regulation.
Mm-hmm.
And so, anyway, a draft ordinance was done a couple of years ago, and it sort of sat, and no one did anything about it. And so it's been revised. And so Malcolm Tierney, who are the consultants who drafted it and got it together, coming in to do this training, just to explain what it needs to do and what it's all about.
Where, Mary, and what time? I know you sent it, but you mentioned it off.
It's going to be here. Mm-hmm. I think they're going to do it in the auditorium from something like 10 to 2.
Yeah.
Mm. I know it
cuts into my work day.
Yeah, I mean, it's.
I was curious to go.
Would you like to go?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Good.
I mean, I know for some of you, it's kind of hard. Joe, you're going to be in D.C.?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
It's very important. It really is. I mean, frankly, I think stormwater is probably one of the.
That's one of our weak points.
Well, they have to comply with which is in the Wetlands Protection Act, but it doesn't cover anything that's not within our jurisdiction. I mean, that this ordinance would. And I think stormwater is probably the biggest pollutant we've got by far. You know, if you look at it collectively. So
you're going to be the editor?
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
Can you ask Malcolm Tierney for their stormwater layer? I asked them a couple of years ago for it.
For
particular? They apparently mapped all of the stormwater and all of the swales and everything in the industrial park where they were supposed to have.
Oh. And they said they were going to give it to you? Was it when they were doing the stormwater study?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Oh. Oh, right.
Not exactly a classic piece of work.
Speaking of that culvert, nothing's happening up there. It's ultimately got permitted. We permitted it.
Uh-huh.
The state backed off, right? I think,
they just gave it back to us.
Right.
So
we issued an order.
Uh-huh. Yeah, so they're free to do it, you know, whenever they get the funds all and everything together.
Okay.
Yeah.
Very,
Yeah, I'm sure it'll happen. It's just they have to put it out to bid and do all that kind of stuff. So.